little bit about that. I'll mention it in a second. But if you just review the resolutions in 2019, that's a little bit of it's interesting to make sure that we don't get this. But it talks a little bit about how we go into this new year prepared. I don't want to test two things with you this morning, two assumptions that I want to make. We have got to look. Two assumptions. First one, people said I should get up here and get sick. But this restricts me. I'm going to tell you to be in the middle of the box. First assumption I'd like to make is that most of us, even this will be better January. I'm already a little tired because we started this year. Most of us live in some busy lives. I know that you call your friends, how are you doing? Fine, but I'm busy. How are the kids doing? Great, but they're busy. We're always busy. Somehow I think it's become a little bit of a black that we're going around our necks. And we're going to grab that place so busy. Look at how time goes. There's a song I actually made a video, but it wasn't good enough, so I told this one, I'm going to play the video. But I'm going to call Steve, it's a chat, and there is to this design to be on YouTube. We just call it this man. And he says in the song, I know a man, his name is Billy. He's got almost everything. Three stories, two cars, and one song. One of the worst consequences I think of being so busy is that often we use our business as an excuse to take responsibility for things in our lives that we know that we change. I need to do this. I need to fix that. I'm so busy. I'll do it when I'm not busy anymore. I have to do this first and then I'll take care of that. Those days we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have electronic cameras or stuff. And you went to the camera and I was always on my desk because people would phone home and ask me to make appointments for me. And I went home and I saw that my camera was set up on my desk, which was always a sign that someone made an appointment, so I had to have a look at them. So I went after doing a visit spot to a couple of nights to get my desk and I looked down. I see a woman with a white man. I do my work. the second consequences of business. Is that going to come from that to the needs of others? It's so lucky, and so busy, and so on the go, but I don't see you really. There was a story of how we can change the business. There's a person in the church. I told you a story about one of the guys who comes every Monday. And he comes and checks if there's something in the basket that we fill. He loves tea. He loves tea. He loves fish because he's a healthy. He loves his fish. He calls me governor. And then he comes in and asks if there's something in the cake, and then the thing goes again. I'm going to go to the meeting and say, Gilbert, I usually sign this one. I'm going to go to the meeting and I'm going to go to the same thing. Gilbert comes in every week. It's a breakfast of mystery. I'm sitting there and I'm going to talk to someone about that. This person has made time to be busy by me. So every week, I'm going to go to the little person and I'm going to go to the other and say something to me. But look at my table this morning. Jesus' life in the Gospels. He was a busy man. He favored a lot. Every day of his life, he was teaching, he was preaching, he was training disciples. Man, that was a full-time job with Peter and James and John and all those guys around him. He was healing people. He was taking care of people's lives. He was doing miracles every day. Busy, busy. But the other thing that people see in Jesus' life all of the time is that Jesus always repeated. Go back into silence and into solitude and to spend time with his Father, because Jesus knew, only through that will I really be able to do it. feel much good listening to this story. How many disciples did Paul before his baptism? After his baptism, what's the first thing he does? Preaches a sermon. Heals sick people. Goes down to Galilee. So see, that's what happens at his baptism. So that's what we're reading in John. And we like this first chapter. He goes, he's baptized by John the Baptizer. And then we what happens to him. Once, after he was baptized, the voice came from heaven, and once the Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals and the angels. What's the first thing he does? He goes away and he retreats. Yes, Satan takes this moment to tempt him, but also Jesus retreats before he had Francis. Into the kingdom before he starts doing the work that God sent him to do. He retreats back, he's filled, he waits, and what the Father says to him, and Jesus passes through. And he takes you down to chapter 75. Goes into Galilee, starts his ministry in Galilee, works with people, and then we read these verses preceding verse 35. So Jesus heals a lot of sick people, he ministers to a lot of people who are in need, he heals people from demons. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off where? I think verse 7, if I remember correctly, where Jesus says to himself, man, we haven't had anything to eat or drink or anything. Come with me, let's retreat, let's go to a quiet place. But before they can do that, the people find them again, and there's 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, and a little hungry. Jesus says, bring the bread, bring the fish, breaks the bread, breaks the fish, feeds 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, so it's like people. Why happens after we've done all of this work? Look at chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus and his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida as a fish while he was missing the boat. And after they did that, he went with them. And now it's a sign. For Jesus does good. He's following his disciples. This busy man is following his disciples. Those words I said to myself. Because I'm Jesus here. I think that you have done that, Jesus. My Lord Jesus, the Son of God, knew that he needed time to go be quiet, that he needed time to go be in God's presence, to go pray to God and allow his Father to speak into his life before he went out to even try. Start running, go to bed tonight, get up tomorrow morning, run, and I to keep going, going. At some stage, it's like very intense. It also needs to stop every now and then. The oil needs to be changed every now and then. Then that engine can go to it. But what do? We never go for oil change. Because I never take the time to sit and say, Father God, we have to cope with this in my life. Father God, what is the purpose? Father God, why do you want me to be for Elsie and for my children? Why do you want me, Father God, to be for Simple so that I can be the leader that they need to be for them? And if I'm not quiet, if I don't hear from my Father, if I just learn by my own speed, you know what will happen to this church? The wheels will come off. We'll all fall apart because you're going to say, oh, he's fine, you better help me. I long for you to enter into this wide, open, spacious life. The smallness you feel comes from within you. But your life aren't small, and you are living from this small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can, and with great affection. Open up your life. Live. Is the same. In the silence, is when God gets an opportunity to give us some of his most amazing gifts. But we don't take time to be a little silent and just rest and waste the gifts. We want to wait. I want you to work and work and work and work and work. I'll keep you so busy that you never have to give. Where does this happen? When I take time to go to him and be quiet with him, when I take time to be treated before I am fast. Because all the world wants is to put more. It takes the Thank you.